The Godcast you're about to listen to is being rebroadcast for the Best of a History with God Godcast. Enjoy and stay blessed.
2016, the great year for whatever you need it to be.
This is the award-winning podcast from A History with God Ministries Godcast Network featuring Frank and Christina Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.org for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. While you're there, consider becoming a partner with us by clicking on the partnership section. Be a part of something big. Make an eternal difference today as you, together with us, bring the message of faith to the world. Together, we can do far more than any of us could ever do alone. And lastly, get on our mailing list to receive your free daily devotion right in your email every morning. They are sure to comfort, inspire, teach, and even challenge you in your walk with the Lord. This ministry is a nonprofit 501c3 corporation, and your giving is tax deductible. And now, let's join the host of this Godcast, Frank Sasso.
Hello, hello. This is Frank Sasso coming at you from the History with God Godcast. The History with God Ministries Godcast podcast. And with me today is a very special guest. You may know him from the Philadelphia Eagles, but he is actually running for Congress now in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Mr. Gary Cobb is with us today. Hello, Gary.
How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Man, you're looking good.
I feel good. It's a good time. Very exciting. Of course, we're approaching this election. I believe it's where I'm supposed to be at this time of my life, and so I'm looking forward to it.
Now, you're running in Cherry Hill now for Congress. Yes. Talk a little bit about that. What's the actual position you're running for?
Congress. It's a U.S. Congress, okay. U.S. House of Representatives. It's a congressional seat. There's a two-year term. In fact, really, I'm running in two elections. One is the unexpired term because the congressman who had the seat resigned. And so we've got to fulfill his term, which is... It's going to be from November through to January, and then the next 2 years. So it really is two elections at one.
You know,
yeah. it's kind of complicated, but that's what it is. An unexpired term, then the two-year term.
I know what it's like, at least from behind the scenes. I've had a couple of friends run for mayor, run for councilman, and I know it's hard enough running just one election. You're running two elections.
Well, it's two elections at once. They didn't go ahead and have an election and have somebody put into Rob Andrews' place. They let the seat stay empty for quite a few months, almost a year. You know, it's very unusual that Rob Andrews resigned. I mean, he had been in the position for 24 years. He'd been there since 1990.
Whoa, so no term limits.
No term limits. He decided to resign. But the big thing is, I think we're really in a challenging time during our country's history.
Absolutely.
I think that it's time that we need people that will stand up and will be honorable. Mm. You know, we need honorable people. More than the person that is the most brilliant. We need honorable people.
Yeah.
You know, people that can do what is the honorable thing to do. Which is not just protect themselves, and people that are just not looking for a career, but
that's
people
right.
that are willing to serve the people of their district and of the country, and really to have the same heart that a good pastor would have or a good father would have, which is, what is in the best interest of the people that I'm serving? That is what has to be at the lead, the most important thing.
We need that in the government. We need that in schools. You were on the Philadelphia Eagles. You need that on your team.
That's right. You want those type of players you play with. And you know what? You eventually kind of get to know your teammates. Mm. Because in certain situations, they can either make a decision to do what's best for them.
Right.
Or do what's best for the team.
Right.
And everybody gets to know, and you're sitting there, and people don't realize it. In other areas, people find this out, other occupations. But when you're playing with a person for a while, you get to know what's inside them.
Mm.
And we've gotten to know what's inside of a lot of the people that have been leading us.
Right.
It hasn't been good. They put things off. We see where our country's headed. Most people say that the country's headed in the wrong direction.
Mm.
Certain things that need to be dealt with, you don't need to play politics with it. You need to say, well, what is in the best interest of the country?
Right.
Not what is in the best interest of my party or what is in the best interest of myself and my career. What is in the best interest of the country?
Yeah.
A good parent is like that. My parents are those kind of parents, which is they go for years, never even thought about themselves. What is in their best interest? They never even thought about that.
Right.
What is in the best interest of my kids?
Yeah.
Meaning, how can I get my kids to this situation where they can do some things that I never even dreamed of doing?
Mm.
I want them to live a life that I wasn't able to live.
And even greater.
And even greater.
Oh.
We joke about it. My dad came out to see me play in the Rose Bowl.
Okay.
You know, he came out from Connecticut. He joked. He didn't even need a plane. That's how excited he was because I was getting the chance to play in the Rose Bowl.
Right.
Something that he would have dreamed of doing.
Sure.
But for that matter, running for office. My dad would have been an outstanding leader.
Mm.
He has those ingredients. First of all, he's a great communicator. He likes to talk. And we used to kid and call him the mayor. You know, because he liked to talk. And whatever was on his mind, he was outselling. Meaning he said, you know what? Boy, you gotta go in and you gotta give your best.
Mm.
So he's out telling everybody, you gotta give your best effort.
Oh, he's telling that to everybody.
He would tell
everybody preaching his message.
Whatever was on his mind, you knew it.
That's
you know?
Cool.
He was not keeping secrets.
That's
boy,
crazy.
You know, you just gotta get in there and go after it. You can't just play around. You gotta go after it.
He would say it with that passion.
He would say it with that passion, and that's where I got that from.
I was just gonna, you know, I have a question. A good portion of your life has been spent playing professional football.
No doubt about it.
The Eagles.
That's right.
Whatever made you think I'm gonna go run for office?
It was something in me. You know, a number of years ago, I was playing in Detroit. I was playing for the Detroit Lions. And had a pastor there. His name was Keith Butler. And he came and he started
Keith Butler. Okay.
And he was talking about politics. And he started talking about how important and that as believers, there was a place for us. Something went off in me.
Mm.
Now, years ago, I knew something went off in me when I was 7 years old. I went to a Little League game. My older brother, James, hit a home run. Something went off in me. You know what? I can hit a home run. I started getting into sports. And it happened to be a gift that I had. In much the same way, the pastor was talking about certain things that were right and wrong and things that needed to be done and everything. And he started talking, and you know what? Something went off in me. And it's kind of like a little pilot that's lit and it's burning.
Yeah.
It's been burning all the time. And then eventually got the chance to flame. That's really what happened. So I've always felt strongly about things. I haven't liked this. See, as a kid, I remember when I was a little guy, we moved from North Carolina to Connecticut.
Okay.
And when we moved north, pretty much all of the families that were in our community were intact. My cousins and things, everybody in the family was intact. Now, we were poor, but the families were intact. Meaning, because everybody was at church every weekend. We were growing up down in Carthage, North Carolina. Some of my cousins and aunts and uncles got into some of the programs that were there, which the woman could get assistance from the government if she was there and she didn't have a husband.
Okay.
And so some of the marriages disintegrated, and some of my cousins, they had kids out of wedlock, and there was a kind of a change that went on. And I saw that change take place starting in the 60s.
Really?
Yes, I saw that change take place, and I saw where these programs weren't really helping because they were negatively affecting the family, which the best situation is have a husband and a wife raising kids.
Absolutely.
Is the best situation. When you alter that, you wind up opening Pandora's box, and that's what has happened. Look at the cities.
Yeah.
Look at our cities. That has bothered me all those years because I knew that if my dad hadn't have been there in the home all these years, I wouldn't be here right now because I was aggressive. I kind of liked the fight. You know what I mean? I liked the adrenaline and the fight, you know.
Yeah.
And, I did that. That's what really football is. It's a controlled fight. And I kind of enjoyed that. I remember in first grade, I saw this guy that was in school. His name was Andy Johnson. He was a big, bad dude. He was the biggest, baddest dude. He was in sixth grade. He used to walk down the hallway with a black trench coat. Everybody got out of the way.
Oh, man.
And I remember I was in first grade. I said, I want to be that dude there.
Really?
That's the dude I want to be.
That was the thought, yeah?
Yeah, because I was big.
Right.
So my father never let that happen.
Of course.
Because
based on what you told me about.
Pops had been in the Army, spent some time in the Army. It was all about no nonsense.
Yeah.
He did not believe in the nonsense. While in the Army, my dad, who was an 8th grade graduate, when he went to the Army, he saw the only guys they promoted were guys with a high school diploma. So when he got out of the Army, he went back to school, got his high school diploma. He said, all my kids are going to get an education.
Right.
So it really wasn't up to us whether we were going to get an education. You were going to get education.
And
so
we were getting a black trench coat.
That's right. That's right. So later on, that guy, Andy Johnson, he got shot, got killed, robbed the store. He dropped out of school. But I never went down that path. But see, if my dad wasn't there, I would have went down that path.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
And I wouldn't be here. But see, thankfully, I have, Dad was there, and that's why I'm always moved to go into these youth centers, detention centers. I like to go in there and talk to those kids. Because they're there because they didn't have a dad.
Yeah.
That's the reason most of them are there, because they didn't have a dad there, especially a good dad who loved you, at the same time, disciplined you.
So do you feel, doing the whole Congress route, that it would be more effective as far as changing your social environment than being a football player or a hero to kids, things like that?
I think that you can really, that both of them can be good, but it depends on your attitude and what you decide to do with that. I think this is an extension of what I was already doing. You know, for about 20 years, I volunteered as like an assistant chaplain at the Youth Study Center in Philadelphia, the detention center,
Cool. Where
these kids come. And I've always liked to go in and talk to them.
Oh, so while you were playing football, you did that as well?
I did that while I was playing football and after I was playing football, yeah. I like working with these kids. You know, you get in trouble. A lot of times, the kid is not a problem. A lot of times, they put the kids in the system,
yeah,
they become criminals.
Sure. And they know the system better than the judges.
That's right. But when they first go in, a lot of them, they just, you know, joke around kids, you know.
Yeah.
So you got to watch how you throw everybody together. Kid that's hardcore, okay, they go in there with those men. But you can't have little kids joking around, because you're really making them criminals when you're sitting there. Rather than keep them over there with the kids. Mm. Let's have the kids stay with the kids.
Right, right.
And also, you can work with them in a way where they're malleable enough. If you have somebody that develops a relationship with them,
yeah,
you can shape them and you can get them to turn and go in a different direction.
Mm.
You know, the government tries to do things that the government can't do.
Okay.
Now, they could partner.
Right.
The government could partner, but you need somebody with a heart when you're dealing with people. Because the first thing a kid knows is, kids want to know, they pick up, do you care anything about me? If you don't care anything about me,
right,
hey, you know what? Whatever.
Then you can take off. You know.
I don't care.
So people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
You better believe it. That's the way people are, and you got to watch the people that you put in positions. You need to put a person there who really cares about the kids. That's the number one thing you got to be looking for.
Right.
If they care about the kids, they can make progress with those kids.
Mm.
Because what they do is they end up softening them. The kids still feel. But a lot of these kids have been mistreated, and they're already starting to get hard. And they need somebody to care about them. And when they start seeing you care about them, they'll start opening up. Saying,
absolutely.
Mr. Cobb, you know, this happened. You know, my mom sold the refrigerator and we didn't have any food. You know, is that what happened? Oh, yeah, and, you know, this happened, that happened. You know, they start telling you about
exactly
things,
right.
You know.
Exactly.
Once they think that, hey, you really care about them. And then you can make progress, you know.
Yep.
Also, things, a lot of times in the programs, you know, they don't keep a consistency. They won't let somebody develop a relationship, keep that consistent relationship with them. But these type of things, I want to have something to say about.
Sure.
In Congress.
Yeah.
I want to have something to say about. Another thing, if somebody's getting help from the government, I want them up and out of the house every day. I mean, like, you got to get up and out of the house.
Oh,
every
thank
day.
You, Jesus.
Every day you got to be up and out of the house. That means you can go do volunteer work.
Yeah.
You can go get training. But every day you're up and out of the house, because you know who's watching you.
That's right.
Those kids are watching
you.
That's right. And if you want them to be stuck in poverty another generation, just let the parents sit there and lay around.
That's right.
And you're training the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And if you care about the kids. Now, I have grandkids now. You better believe I have something to say to my kids about my grandkids.
That's right.
What they're seeing and everything. And if they really cared about these kids, they would have something to say about what the parents are doing in front of them. That's why I want parents up and out of the house every day during the week. You can take the weekends off.
But
during the week,
I mean, I totally agree. I mean, if you can do something.
Come on.
You can do something.
Come on.
You know.
And we'll help you.
Well, how do you enforce something like that?
Well, the way we got to enforce it, first of all, you really would like people to want to do it.
Well, absolutely.
And so you're going to try to work to get as many as possible to want. And then if you create enough people that want to and are up and out, then the people are staying are going to feel, you know, kind of left out some. But it's something that you got to enforce. It should be part of the deal.
Yes.
Meaning, like, if I'm going to give you help.
Right.
I mean, we've helped our kids.
Yeah.
But there's a part, there's a side to it.
Exactly.
If we see somebody using drugs, whoa, time out.
That's
it. Time out.
Part of the deal.
That's not part of the deal. And that's why the money should be given out closer to the individuals. That means you got to have somebody there that's got a heart for these people, that's closer to the situation. They're in the neighborhood. They really know what's going on. They're the ones that are deciding who's getting the money, rather than you trying to give it from Washington, because that's not the way it's done.
Totally,
but these are the type of things that I want to have something to say about.
I think that's a strong message. It hits home. It's a personal message. We got this park across the street from our house.
Mm-hmm.
And, for the longest time, I would be chasing these kids out of the park at night. I said, you can't be in a park at night. It's closed. So every sudden, I see Mr. Frank come, and they run.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, I got tired of chasing them.
Yeah.
I said, you know what? I finally caught up to them. I said, listen, I ain't going to chase you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be in the park? You can be in the park whenever you want.
Yeah.
I said, but here's the deal, man. Here's the deal. And this is the next level of this, from what I'm getting from what you're saying.
Uh-huh.
I said, look. Anything goes down in that park, whether you were involved or not, I'm coming after you.
That's right.
As if you did it.
That's right.
You're guilty.
That's right.
So there's one guy, Dennis, he says, Mr. Frank, that's not fair. I said, oh, well.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Anything goes down in that park, I'm holding you responsible.
Mm-hmm.
So now you know what they do now? They have my eyes and ears now, that park.
Yeah.
Because they don't want you in trouble.
That's right.
So what I do? I gave them something to be responsible for.
That's right.
I gave them an expectation to live up to.
That's right.
And that's what they endeavored to do.
Yeah.
Are they still the pain in the neck once in a while? Absolutely. They're mm-hmm. kids. But at least there's a mutual respect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I do honestly believe that mm-hmm. if there was respect,
mm-hmm.
if you give these kids an expectation to live up to,
yeah.
I do believe 80 to 90% of the time you see a turnaround.
Well, you know, that's coaching. You know what? It's parenting.
Mm.
You know, it's leading.
There you go. It's leading. Like your dad.
That's right.
And like what you're doing.
That's
I'm
right.
sure your dad probably knew everybody.
Oh, you better believe it.
And they probably were, and all those guys that he knew were probably watching you when he wasn't around.
That's, you better
and
believe
they
it.
And feedback to him.
That's right. That's the way it was. We had such a great, I think, you know, the partnership, my mom and dad. My mom was the encourager.
Oh, really?
She was the encourager. Oh, she was the encourager.
And he was the enforcer.
And he was the discipline. And he would encourage you some, but most of the time he'd tell you, look, this is the line to stay in the middle. You stay in these lines
that's
here.
It. You and do this, this happens. That's you do right. this, that happens.
And he was pushing us, but she was the encourager. She'd sneak up behind you and grab you and hug you and say, you know what? You're going to do special things in your life.
See that? So she was prophesying over your life.
You better believe it.
I have a feeling she was a woman of prayer.
Still is.
And she still is.
Oh, hallelujah. Still is. Both of them, you know, they're in their 80s. My dad just had his 82nd birthday just yesterday. And both of them, she's 81.
Yeah, listening.
Yeah, I was raised by great people. I mean, outstanding people. And I could get into more and more of the detail of both my mom and my dad. Because, see, my mom, she was an unwanted child. She was born back in the 30s, but her mom and dad never got married. So there was a stigma there. So, okay. You know, she told us, we had three brothers and three sisters. She would always tell them, you boys take care of your kids.
Mm.
Take care of your kids. You know, if you're not going to take care of your kids, you're not a son of mine.
Wow.
You take care of your kids. She said, take care of your kids. I don't want you strolling kids all over this country. Don't be that. You know, she would tell
right.
us.
Sure.
We were little guys going, you know, our eyes are big. What?
Sure.
But that stuck. She sowed that in us.
Mm.
Take care of your children. And that's what a real man takes care of the kids.
That's right. That's what a real man. You see, that's the problem. We have a lot of males in this country. Ain't got a lot of men, though.
That's right. And,
you know?
And they're not the same because you are a male. That's not really a choice. You were a male.
That's right.
But you only become a man by choice.
That's right. One is playing and one is commitment.
That's right.
Absolutely. So to roll back for a second about your parents, about them being people of prayer. You got your success, at least the foundation of it to succeed, from your parents praying.
No doubt about it.
You know, I was in prayer about this before we sat down today.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Lord, what are we going to talk about? I'm just, you know, I don't really know anything about football. I don't know anything about, you know, Congress. I don't know anything about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I know your heart, and I know you love Gary.
Mm-hmm.
So what? He says, you know, this country got its constitution through prayer.
That's right.
And he said the branches of government was designed right out of Isaiah 33.
Yeah.
Isaiah 33, verse 22, he showed it to me.
That's right.
Check this out. This is what the Lord showed me. Check this out. You're going to like it. Listeners, you're going to like this. The branches of our government, the judicial, legislative, and executive.
Okay? Mm-hmm. That's right.
Isaiah 33, verse 22. The Lord is our judge, judicial.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
The Lord is our lawgiver, legislative.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
The Lord is our king. That's the White House.
That's right.
That's executive.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Okay. They got it from the Word.
They got it from the Word.
And that's why this country has lasted so long and been so powerful.
That is most definitely why.
Here's the key, though.
Mm-hmm.
He says to me, there are people in Congress who don't know him. And the ones that do know him, most of them are praying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He says that my Word says to make sure you pray for all that are in authority.
That's correct.
For all that are in authority.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Which says to me, if the men of God and the women of God don't pray for those who are in authority, then those who are in authority are not going to get the benefit of said prayer.
Yeah.
They're not going to get wisdom. They're not going to gain a strategy on how to, like, overcome situations.
Mm-hmm.
But a man of God who's running for Congress, who's running for that position. I know not a day goes by where you don't pray for those in authority.
That's right.
Whether or not you agree with their politics.
That's right.
That's whatever. That doesn't even matter.
Mm-hmm.
I know you do. I know you do.
Yeah.
I am so excited, though, to meet a guy who's a man of God, who prays every day, seeking the Lord, and is running for that seat to what? To make a difference for this country.
Well,
I think that's awesome.
Well, you know, it's a time, you know, and you just kind of know that you're supposed to be at a certain place at a certain time. And throughout this race, you know, right away when I decided to run in this district, somebody was trying to talk me into running in the 3rd district because it's more Republican. This is a Democratic district, quote unquote.
Okay.
But my heart was pulled to run in this district. And don't you know that right after I decided I was going to be running against Rob Andrews, out of nowhere, he decides to resign. You know, 24 years in the seat. Now, I didn't know he was going to resign, but he decided to resign. Now, I'm going against Donald Norcross. Now, everybody says, oh, they've raised millions and millions of dollars.
Right.
He and his brother.
Okay.
You know, I've raised $100,000.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it's been $100,000 raised, but the situation is such that they're trying to get more money. They're trying to bring in more money. They're bringing more money in from Washington. They've had to bring much more money in from the PACs, they call. And, you know, I don't know the polls. I don't know where things stand.
Okay.
But I'm confident in where I stand because I know the God I serve is faithful.
Amen.
He's faithful and true.
Amen.
I do know that.
Well,
I don't know all that stuff, but I do know he's faithful and true.
Gideon didn't think he had enough guys. Yep. The Lord kept pulling more numbers away.
Yeah.
He's like, Lord, my numbers are low here.
That's right.
He didn't even have to fight. He didn't need any guys.
Yeah, yeah.
He just needed a couple of good musicians. Really about it, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Dude, I'm with you. You know, I'm just going to shift gears a minute because I got some questions from some people that they want answers.
Okay. All right.
So I'm sitting down with the great Gary Cobb, and I'm going to ask him these questions, and then, listen, anything you don't want to answer, you just say, I don't want to answer.
No problem.
All right. Gary.
Yeah.
As a former NFL linebacker, do you think it would be more fun going to battle with John Boehner in Congress than it was working for Buddy Ryan and the Eagles coaching staff, or do you think they'll be equally about the same amount of good times?
Well, it's going to be it's different. Now, I had a lot of fun playing for Buddy Ryan. I mean, he was, you're talking about a guy who's a leader about 20 years old, he was a staff sergeant in the Army over in Korea.
Wow.
So he knew about bringing guys
already
together.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, he really knew. And what he would do a lot of times is he would create this enemy. So we all had the same enemy.
Oh, that's,
you know,
great.
So that's the way he would bring guys together. Whatever it was, he would find somebody or something
right
to make the enemy. And he would always tell us, look, if one of you guys comes in here, you all better come. Meaning that we had a strike during that time. And he said, look, either you guys all stay out or you all come in. Nobody had better get divided. You better either stay together. And see, he always talked that togetherness, how important it was that you have unity, that it wasn't about an individual. It was all about, as a group, what is going to be in our all own best interest. And meaning that everybody at one time or another is going to have to put themselves to the back
right. And
put the team first. And so he always pushed that. And he was a great guy to play for. A lot of fun. He kept things going, but he was a lot of fun. Now, of course, I don't know a lot of these guys down there in Congress.
Okay.
But I'll get to know them and we'll have fun. You know, and because there's always the camaraderie that eventually builds. I met some of the guys and some of the ladies down there. They seem like good people. I'm going to have some things to say.
Sure.
And be able to, I want to be a blessing to them too. So we'll be able to share about what each other thinks. And, you know, I'm going to go down with open mind from the standpoint that I'm willing to listen to people. I know I don't have all the answers. But I know who does have it.
Amen. I don't say, you know what? I picked this up from Pastor George Pearson. I'm not going to say I don't know anymore. I'm going to say, let me inquire of the Lord.
That's right. That's
I'm
right.
I'm not going to say I don't know.
That's right. That's true.
Let me go inquire of the Lord.
Let me inquire of the Lord. That's
answer for you.
That was good. Now,
you can use that in your campaign.
Amen.
No,
amen.
There's no trouble for that.
That's right.
So what would be your first order of business when you get in?
Well, the first thing is that here in South Jersey, where I'm representing, there's a reputation of corruption in this area.
That's right.
And that needs to be cleaned up. And we need to be forceful to tell people, look, if you come into our area to do business, you're going to be treated with respect. Nobody's going to be shaking you down to say, hey, if you want to do business here, look, you got to write a $20,000 check to such and such or whatever.
Right.
There's not going to be any of that, you know. And I'm going to make it a point that if any of that is taking place, it's going to be prosecuted. And so I want there to be honor. I want it to be a person that can come here and say, you know what? I can go to sleep. I know I'm going to be treated fairly. And that's the reputation I want South Jersey to have, so that it has a reputation people feel they can come here, and it's going to wind up attracting a lot of business.
Okay.
And we're going to be able to go down on taxes with people so that we don't have so many families I see just struggling to stay above water.
Right, right.
And the way that happens is we attract business. We cannot have people doing unscrupulous things, and all the cheating and stealing and things, it will stop.
Amen. I agree. And, you know, this is an interesting next question, because it kind of talks a little bit about the stamina of said job. You spent 11 years in the NFL, a true school of hard knocks.
Mm-hmm.
Some congressmen have spent their entire lives in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you would have that same stamina to do the same?
Well, I could stay there a while, but I don't know. It's something that I'll have to follow through on. But I want to be a solution. I want to be a helpful. I don't want to just establish a career. I think sometimes people can stay there so long to where you get to the point where the votes you're making are based on you keeping a job rather than what is in the best interest of the people. That's something I'm going to make sure that I am placing votes that are in the best interest of the people I'm representing. Right. I don't need a career down in Washington.
Right, right. Yeah, that's cool, because I tell you what, sometimes I know from working out myself, if I'm working out physically, and then if I'm, I could be tired, I could be sore the next day,
mm-hmm.
but if I'm working like 8-9 hours on a mental thing, mm-hmm. that's sometimes more exhausting.
Oh, no doubt about it. No doubt about it.
I think the stamina thing, man, that requires prayer.
No doubt about it. I like challenges, and I know that this is where I'm supposed to be, and so I think the safest place is where the Lord wants you to be.
That's right. You're absolutely
and
right.
And so I will be fine. And as I said, I'm not going to be down there. You got to vote this way. I said, well, no, I know we should be doing this.
Right.
Oh, but you can't take that vote, or it's going to cost you in the election. Well, you know what? Later for the election.
There you go. That's it.
Because I'm not trusting in the election.
That's one glass of good
move. That's not what my trust is at.
That's good. And if you did, that's a certain lose right there.
Yeah.
That's, man. You know, and Reggie White. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest.
He was my roommate while I was there.
What impact did he have on your life? I mean, he was really well known for his Christianity.
You know, Reggie was a big guy, sincere. I mean, he cared about the Lord. He was sincere. And that's the thing. He wasn't a scholar from the standpoint of biblical scholar. The man loved God. Damn. You know? The man loved God. And he was not afraid to let anybody know that.
Oh, I love that.
So what it did was, on our team, it put everybody else out there to where, look, this is where it is. We're not ashamed of the gospel.
Amen.
Because he was not ashamed of the gospel. Big Reggie had a big heart, too. Just to share a quick experience, he was my roommate. We were out in Los Angeles. We went down, got something to eat, came back up into the room. He's up there. He's crying. This is before the game. He's crying because his dad doesn't want to come to the game. He didn't know his father real well. See, he wasn't raised around his father, but his father lived in L.A. We were out there to play a game against the Rams, and his father didn't want to come to the game. And he was up there crying. And that just shows you the importance of a father in a man's life. It doesn't matter who the man is.
Wow.
It doesn't matter what accomplishments he has. Father's important.
Was he like a mentor to you?
I would say we were brothers. I think we mentored each other in different ways.
Okay.
But we were close. We used to sit down and share things in the room, and share things about the Lord and different things. I could share things with him. He would share things with me.
Cool.
We had a good relationship.
They're like running mates.
That's right.
Was there anybody else on the team that you kind of like discipled in a sense or mentored?
There were numerous guys. I mean, Randall Cunningham is one. He's a pastor now in Las Vegas.
He's a pastor in Las Vegas.
That's right. He's a pastor
that's
in Las Vegas.
That's pretty cool.
there are numerous other guys. Cedric Brown has a church. He's a pastor, and he's over in Lindenwall, down here in South Jersey. He's a pastor. And then, I ran into a guy, Chris Carter, who is a Hall of Famer now. And we were at the Hall of Fame and everything. We're out joking because he was a rookie, and I was trying to talk to him. And he wound up putting himself in a position where he got released from the Eagles and wound up getting picked up by the Minnesota Vikings. Turned his life around, though. See, because he kind of got hit because he was breaking some rules and things. But he got his life together and doing well, and he loves God, too. So, you see the guys grow up. It's a blessing when you see somebody grow into manhood and you say, you know what? I remember when you told me, you gave me some good advice.
That's cool. Yeah. I got one last question.
No problem.
All right. You had an opportunity to work with Merrill Reese as an Eagles broadcaster, but you were turned down because you wouldn't take the party line of not saying anything negative or bad about the Eagles. Is that even true? And if it is true, do you think you made the right decision?
Well, you know, it's what ended up happening. I definitely think I made the right decision. Some people say, well, why would you go through all that trouble? Well, you know what? Your name is all you got.
Yeah.
You know? Somebody mentions your name and people know, well, you can't trust that guy. You know, that's something that's important to me.
Okay.
And so I'm going to shoot it straight. If I'm talking about, you know, the word, or if I'm talking about the game I saw, I'm going to give my opinion. It's
right.
Just my opinion.
Right.
But it's my honest
yours.
Opinion.
Right.
So I'm not going to try to pull anything on anybody. So I'm just a straight shooter. I built a reputation on the radio where I would call it like I saw it. Hey, you know, I don't think that they should do A, B, and C. And sometimes they call me now and ask me questions. Some of them are tough. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? They will veer out of different things to ask me questions because they know I'm going to give them what I believe to be the best answer.
Right.
Regardless of the situation, I'm not going to be trying to play politics.
I love that.
I'm going to call it like it is. I think in our country now, it's very important that we have people that will be honest and honorable. Call it like it is and do it, though, with value of the people, saying, you know, all these people are valuable. These people are not more valuable than these people. These little guys here, or these little girls here, they deserve opportunity. The United States has been blessed to be able to where you can grow up and you can dream and fulfill those dreams. You can do that. That's what I'm trying to give them a chance to do.
I think that's fantastic. Where can people hear you on the radio?
I'm on the radio on 94 WIP out of Philadelphia.
Well, Gary, I really appreciate this, man, you coming on the show today. This is awesome. We're going to pray for you, and we believe that you are going to get in. So, hallelujah.
The website for the campaign is Gary Cobb. It's GarryCobb.com. So, GarryCobb.com is for the congressional
website.
Campaign.
Yep. Cool. Mm-hmm. GarryCobb.com, GarryCobb.com. And remember, until next week, we love you, God loves you, and Jesus is Lord. Stay blessed.
Stay blessed.
There you go.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from the History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. A History with God Ministries. Seeing, hearing, remembering. Until next time, remember, we love you, God loves you, and Jesus is Lord. Stay blessed.